And I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show, What Up and Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning, 2-513-430-106. That's how you get in touch with the program. Still to come, Pepper Breyers in the 10 o'clock hour, April Marie Fogle of News Talk 93.1. At the 11 o'clock hour, we got State Senator Chris Elliott. So stay tuned for that. Text line, by the way, 251-340-106. Joining us on the line now, before they go to votes here, so we're going to try to make the most of this opportunity. Congressman Barry Boyer represents the 2nd Congressional District here in Alabama. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, good morning. We are doing good. And like I said, getting ready to go to do some votes this morning, take care of the people's business, hopefully.
Well, that's good to hear. Real quick, the committee assignments. We haven't talked since everything's been put in place, speaker elections, and then everything kind of falling up there organizationally. You feel pretty good about some of the gains made for you and your colleagues in the House Freedom Caucus.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt. Part of the negotiations, I think, allowed us to get in a position to have conservatives and keep key roles in this process and have a voice in it. So I think the rules too favor the membership and actually favor the voice. The Vox Populi, as we talk about often, is the voice of the people, because now we have a better say in the process and get to represent our districts. And I think that's important.
Well, and you know, this is if it hadn't played out the way that it played out, then, you know, things might look different today, but certainly the changes seem to be, I think, viewed favorably.
Yeah, for sure, and certainly in retrospect. I mean, at the time, it was trying. I get it. I mean, C-SPAN had incredible ratings. There was a debate on the floor. It was back and forth. We had 15 votes for speaker, first time in over 100 years. But I think that process kind of, it said it's no longer a rubber stamp in Washington, D.C. for leadership. And it's not a bad thing. It just allows us to get, when you play your cards right and you negotiate properly, you can get a better product for the American people. And that's what we got.
Let's move on. The other ailments plaguing the country under Joe Biden, I think you have to put at the top of the list the U.S.-Mexico border, the southern border. Well, now Republicans have a Congress. What do you think is going on there? What needs to start happening? I mean, there's only so much you guys can do, but you're at least now in a position with a little more leverage.
Yeah, I agree. I think that judiciary, that's one of the committees Jim Jordan asked me to serve on, so I agreed to go on with Jim. And the very first hearing we're going to have is actually a field hearing. It's going to be at the border in a couple of weeks, and we're going to begin to address those issues, whether it's fentanyl, people pouring across the border. Basically, under Joe Biden's administration, we replaced near about the entire population of Alabama with just people flowing across the southern border. When you think about it, we're replacing a state every, you know, 24, 36 months. And that's not good for the American people. And those people coming here are not necessarily our friends always. And certainly, even if they're here not to do any harm, if they're not in the system, then you overload Medicaid, you overload Medicare, you overload all those systems, education, healthcare, you name it. It puts a tremendous burden on the American people. And certainly on the rural states where they pour into work. And so it's something we're going to have to look into. And I'm excited that Jordan wants to do that. And that's what we're going to do in a couple of weeks. Get started.
I mean, we have laws in this country, right? The Congress, they passed the law. Maybe they passed it a long time ago. But it is still, nonetheless, the law. And it's just not being enforced. And you know, whenever we have those questions, I mean, I think people want some accountability.
Yeah, and that's the role I love and appreciate so much about judiciary is the weaponization or failure to enforce certain laws depending on the political narratives. And so, you know, when we're looking at, you know, just for example, how you have a two-tier justice system in this country, one of the things that people really concerned about when I was doing my town halls was the weaponization of the DOJ and the FBI coming after conservative voices while turning a blind eye, deaf ear to obviously abuses from the other side. And so, that, along with enforcing laws that could protect our country, why aren't we doing the proper investigations rather than politicizing that? So, yeah, it's. I look forward to that. It's one of the things we look forward to is making sure we enforce the laws on the books and don't abuse the process, in a sense of looking for justice.
You mentioned weaponization of agencies of DOJ. I'm not suggesting that we've made this conclusion yet, but what do you make of the document drama, Biden, Trump, and now Pence, but the double standard that a lot of people think is at play? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's uncanny how they raid Mar-a-Lago after they were there just a month before and just told them, hey, lock the closet, everything's fine, keep the documents. I mean, he has Secret Service around the place. And then they come back and do a big raid and televise it and try to promote that. And then all of a sudden we discover documents at other places that Biden had control of when he was VP, which he was not by law allowed to declassify. And we're finding them in closets and garages. It's just fascinating to me that one way they want to do a televised raid, the other way it's quiet. And, oh, by the way, we found these documents. It's not a big deal anymore. So it just, again, it shows the bias in the process, the DOJ, and enforcement of laws that are on the books. And it's time we straighten it up. And I think there's an opportunity for us to do just that.
We're joined by Congressman Barry Moore, the 2nd Congressional District, here on the program. Congressman, I think a very important discussion, though, but military vaccine requirements, and the Pentagon's backing off of that. But you have taken a very a solid position on this one, reinstatement and getting those who had to, you know, either were discharged from the military because they would not take the jab. What more needs to be done there? What do you make of that situation?
So I think we have to reinstate our soldiers that were dismissed. That was a way to purge patriots, people who didn't necessarily just want to follow a narrative. And again, we didn't have a vaccine the entire time. And as it came on scene, it was like, either you get the vaccine or you're getting out of the Army and we're going to force you not to be able to make a living. And so with Fort Rucker, I had a ton of town halls and a lot of people concerned about that. And some walked away from jobs at Rucker and some were forced out because of this mandate. Now, looking back, as I talk to physicians, young males are most susceptible to that vaccine. And so that cripples your military. So if we got patriots who left because they just didn't feel comfortable with taking an untested vaccine that was not approved by the FDA, then for sure we need to reinstate those, whether it be pilots, air traffic control, whatever the case may be. Those young fighting men and women, they need to have an opportunity to serve their country. They need not be purged because they did not want to take this jab.
Well, do you think that is a feasible outcome? Do you think that things could head that way?
No doubt. I think it's obviously, I mean, we even in the negotiations for Speaker, we did away with the mandates going forward for the military, and we're not done yet. We're going to push to reinstate those soldiers. We spent a lot of money, taxpayer money, to train them. Again, they love this country. They've offered service when there was no vaccine, when COVID was here. Why now we're going to punish them? Let's reinstate them, put them back to work, and get our military. We're having trouble hitting our recruiting goals, man. So if we're not even hitting our recruiting goals, why in the world we get rid of people because they didn't want to take a jab, and we found out the vaccine is pretty ineffective in transmission of the disease anyway?
Congressman, something else I think, and you supported it, but the China Select Committee, and I mean, just in general, the U.S. relationship with China, a lot of people think is one of the, if not the top adversary of the United States right now. But Congress is going to have more of a role in that. It sounds like you've even got some bipartisan support there. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so if you ask Speaker McCarthy right now, two of the if you just ask him, say, what are the biggest threats to America right now? He will tell you the national debt and China, and not necessarily in that order. So the fact that we're starting this committee to oversee, I mean, as we brought China to the table, the CCP has begun to abuse the process from an intellectual property theft standpoint, from a national security standpoint, to threatening our enemies and threatening our allies around the globe. It is time that China be held accountable. And it was bipartisan, so even many Democrats supported that. And I think it's, like I said, McCarthy believes that the debt and China are the two top things facing the future of this country, and that we're going to address both of them.
And just in general, Speaker McCarthy, I know we're just a few days into this, or a few weeks into it, I should say, but it certainly looks like, at least as far as I can tell, some of the promises he made, a lot of what he said in the lead up to the speaker elections, he is delivering.
He is really, really, those of us who stood with him from the get-go, after we got the majority of the rules changes, we kind of, a lot of us, even House Freedom Caucus members, put our neck on the line and said, Kevin's going to deliver, and he is delivering. And I'm proud of the job he's doing. I am so thankful. He worked so hard to get there. And really, the last holdout was just the motion to vacate. How many members there? We had all the other rules negotiated prior to even the vote on January the 3rd or whatever. So I think that Kevin is doing a fine job. He is delivering for the conference, for the conservatives, and the rules that we put in place, he's abiding by those. And showing the Dems, you don't kick people off committees just because they had a Twitter account. And then you want to keep people who had affairs with Chinese spies or misled the American people with intel for political purposes. You don't leave those people on committees because they cannot be trusted. And I think that's important. Kevin's doing a good job. I'm really, really pleased with what he's doing. Look forward to working under his leadership going forward.
Last question, we'll get you out of here on this, Congressman. Talking about all the things going on in the Biden administration, and I see a Comer on TV a lot talking about some of the oversight stuff. But what do you think we're going to start seeing that pick up and start seeing some hearings and some subpoenas being issued?
So I think real soon. We're populating the committees right now, Jeff. We just got through the chairman process. We had to elect our chairman. So as we populate the committees and get the members, the hearings, like I said, actually will start next week. So I think all the committee chairs will be in place. The members will be in place. The subcommittee chairs will be in place. You'll then start seeing the ball roll. You'll start seeing the direction we're going. And hopefully the American people will see a restoration of trust in the federal government, which we have all, many of us have lost.
Congressman, you've been very kind to make time for us. I'll let you get back to important matters of the country, but let's do this again soon.
Sure. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. That was Congressman Barry Moore of the 2nd Congressional District. Had to let him go a little early. He's got some votes going on, but he still made time for us, so we're very appreciative of that. Text line 251-343-0106. We'll get to those here in just a moment. Still to come, Pepper Breyers in the next hour. I'll already get a little feedback about that, but Pepper is, he's crunched the numbers about Alabama's former senior senator, Richard Shelby. I wonder what do you think y'all, let's play this game. What's Richard Shelby doing right now? Now that he has departed, Washington, D.C., what do you think his day looks like? Is he just got some golf going on or maybe, just kind of hanging out, drinking some sweet tea? Talking Alabama football. Let's go to the text line here. David, who is now 1-12. Jeff should do his entire show one day in his fake outrage voice. David, like right now, I could barely do the show all the way through for 3 hours in my regular voice. I don't know. Having the clear the throat. Chris in Wemo asks, hey, Jeff, did you get to see Jason Isbell the other night? I did not. You know what you find in, and Chris is like, my new role as a parent, a family man, just don't have the ability to go to stuff like that like I would want. And it's not that, like, you know, I used to think of family life like, you know, your wife's going to tell you, you can't go to this because you need to be out there working in the, it's you're so tired. But no, I did not get to see Jason Isbell the other night. Going on a weeknight to a Jason Isbell concert, probably, yeah, that's a heavy lift. 251-343-0106, still watching for the outcome. Or the video or whatever it is that we're going to get from Memphis, Tennessee. If it's going to be as bad as they say it is, because they're really, really warning about this. So essentially, you have some cops, and then there's going to be very gruesome footage, and it's going to spark some emotional responses, and we need to be ready for that. Big news here. The DOJ is set to make an announcement on a transnational security case. This is on MSNBC. I'm noticing this, but this is always kind of a trend. As a keen observer of the news, DOJ is making a lot of announcements lately. The DOJ, I mean, did they do some focus grouping or something here and say, hey, people, they think all we do is meddle in the affairs of former presidents and vice presidents. Maybe we should start showing that we do other things as well to keep people safe. So we had the announcement yesterday of the ransomware gang. And now we got something else coming up here. The Department of Justice, I think, there's a lack of, it's a sliding trend. And it's not that they need to be worried about where they poll or any of that necessarily. But if people start losing confidence in federal law enforcement, they start losing confidence in the system. I mean, that is a that is kind of the precursor to, like, losing confidence in government. All this is very important. It's like we're talking with Barry Moore, though. I mean, what's it going to look like once you start getting these guys on under oath before committee, especially some of these whistleblowers within the DOJ? And we're going to find out how political it was. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean.